I want is for God to be glorified, right? Amen. Amen. Is that your prayer this morning? Amen. That God will be glorified? Yes. That he will be honored? Yes. Because that's why we were created, right? Yes. That he will be glorified. Thank you, praise team. I want to thank God this morning for another glorious opportunity to bring forth his word. And we are going through a series of well-constructed faith. And we look to God for his direction. We look to God for his wisdom, right? But sometimes we fail. We lean on our own understanding and forget who gives wisdom. Why we were created. We cleave to religious activities. And so this morning, before we go further, let's just look to the Lord in prayer. Eternal Father, we want to thank you this morning, O God, for the opportunity to speak your word. And even as we've come, Lord, we say, you speak, and not me, Holy Spirit, come and be glorified. Take control and let your word go forth for the purpose for which it's been sent. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, we are dealing with the book of Romans, right? And Pastor Gary has been preaching for the past 2 Sundays on the topic, well-constructed faith. And it's Paul's letter to the believers in Rome and its implication now. Even though Paul wrote this letter thousands of years, but the implication now on us as Christians. So, today we're going to be talking about God's judgment and the law. You know, many a times we love to hear that God going to bless you, right? And we say, amen. Oh, you ain't want to say amen. I say God going to bless you. Amen. We love that, right? But we don't love when we say God is going to judge you. Somebody say sorry. But God, judgment is coming regardless of who you are. Right? You can't escape from it. And so today we're going to look at God's righteous judgment. The judgment and the law. For our eternal truth, first of all, before I go to the eternal truth, it said, we fail to understand God's judgment and even deny it exists. Right? Sometimes we just go on and forget that God's judgment exists. But let's see what God's word has to say. So for our eternal truth, we said faith in Jesus Christ. Hold on. That's not my message. Chris, you're giving me Pastor Gary's message. Do you guys want me to preach that message again? All right, let me be going while Chris is fixing it. So for our eternal truth, we said God's judgment will come upon all. There you go. Thank you, Chris. Thank you. We on track. Because I don't know you want to preach last Sunday message. So God's judgment will come upon all regardless of who you are. But what happens is that it is not what you do externally. We're going to talk about that later. That's going to save your soul. No. But what happens internally will determine where you spend eternity. And this is a fact. God wants real change in us. And this real change will have to start in our hearts. It don't start from outside. It has to start from within. And this change, well, when it starts from in our heart, it's only going to do what God requires. Not what we feel, not what we think. What God requires from our heart, and it will bring praise and glory and honor to God on that final day. Amen. That's the whole aim. So, as we go through our message, the first thing we want to talk about God's judgment on the spiritual and religious confidence of men. Fast track, the children of Israel, the Jews, well, God's chosen people, right? And before that, we learned, Pastor Gary spoke in chapter 2, that the wrath of God is coming. And we come to understand the reason why God is angry. And why God is angry is because of sin. And in chapter 1, verses 24 to 32, we saw God judging sin for today, and he kind of, Paul kind of tells about how believers, the wrath of God is going to come on the hypocrite. Those who say one thing and means another thing. They are hypocrite, right? You say something, but you do another thing, you are hypocrite, right? And God's judgment is going to come. Imagine on the church. And so today, Paul continued his argument that about the immoral behavior of the Jew in verse 17 to 29 that was read beautifully by Tico Moses, deal with the Jews or by extension, anyone else who relies on religious system. Who think that religious system is going to take them to heaven? Who feels that being religious and spiritual, but not following what God says in his word, will take them to heaven. So the children of Israel, the Jews, they were boastful. First, they were boastful of their lineage. They were boastful of the Lord. They were boastful of their Lord. And they were boasting of leadership. So let's just go into that quickly. In Romans chapter 2, verse 17, it says that Paul had this issue with the Jews. He had this issue with the church in Rome. And the first thing he points out to them, he said, indeed, you are called a Jew. And they were proud of their lineage, their connection, who they were. They were proud. I'm a Jew. So, being the fact that I'm a Jew, Jesus Christ was a Jew, right? He came down through the lineage of Abraham, David, and he was a Jew. So for the fact that the Jews were chosen people, God gave, he made a covenant with Abraham years ago when he called Abraham. He told Abraham, leave your land. Come, I'm going to take you to a place where you will be blessed. He said, I'm going to make you a descendant of nations. So God established a covenant with Abraham. And he said, I'm going to bless you. He's doing everything. Look at the stars. Look at the sea. Can you count them? He said, that's how your people will be uncounted. You cannot count them. So for the fact that these believers in Rome, they felt that they have that lineage connection with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, and even Jesus Christ, they felt that they had the right to heaven. And they missed the mark. Because being part of the lineage of Jesus Christ doesn't take you to heaven, church. Now, your father, your mother, your grandmom, your granddad may be a Christian. You may be born in a Christian home. Doesn't make you saved. Doesn't make you to go to heaven. They were Jews, but they missed the mark because why? They were not carrying out the covenant, the plan that God set for them. And they felt that being part of the lineage would take them to heaven. And not only that, they boast in that. They trace their relationship back. They see in hope in their relationship, in their lineage, in their ancestry. They feel that being attached to this group of people that God has called, it makes things easy for them. But it's not true. You see, they believe that even though judgment was going to come upon every other one, but they believe as Jews, no judgment is going to come upon them. It's sad. It's wrong. So Paul comes addressing the Jews who relies on privileged position. Oh, because my dad is the pastor of the church, so I'm saved. I have that privilege. No, you have to experience Jesus Christ for yourself. You have to get saved and know Christ and accept Him in your life. Being a pastor child, being a deacon's child, being a the choir leader's child, doesn't give you the right to heaven. But it's your relationship that takes you to heaven, your relationship to Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul had a problem with them. And not only did they boast in their lineage, they boast of the law. They boast of the law. In verse 17, they said, indeed, Paul called, they said, indeed you are called a Jew. He said, and you rest on the law. And their heart desire was on the law. In a sense, many Jews proudly call themselves Jews, relying on the law and boasting in their relationship with God. Many of us have the Bible, right? Oh, y'all, no one answer me. Okay. We have the Bible. We read the Bible, right? Don't answer me if you're not reading your Bible. Because some of us have the Bible, it's on our bookshelf, it's on our table, it's there for a design. It's the holy book. You know, growing up back home, we have some missionaries, but we have some older Christians, right? And when you go to their home, they have the big Bible. It's there. You don't touch it. If you go there, they're speculating. Get your hand. Don't you know it's the word of God? You don't play with that Bible. And even in the church that I grew up, there was a huge Bible. It takes about two or three kids to kind of live it up. So we went on behind the pulpit trial, and one of the lady came. Child, what are you doing over there? Leave that Bible alone. They have the Bible, but they're not living according to what the Bible says. The Jews had the law. The law was given to them to kind of direct them, pull them on the track to honor God in their daily life. But they were not living according to the law. They knew the law. Paul said, you rest on the law, but you're not living according to the law. And for that reason, God is going to judge you. Because you misinterpreting the law. We read the Bible. How many of us go according to the Bible, application of the Bible? Sometimes we say, oh, you know what, I'm going to read my Bible. And we read the Bible. James says that after reading, like you look yourself in the mirror, you walk away forgetting to know who you are, what you look like. Not following what the word of God says. And that was the problem. That was the problem Paul had with the believers, the Jews. He said, no, the law was given for you to honor and fulfill what the law says. Not knowing the law doesn't take you to heaven. Knowing the Bible doesn't take you to heaven. You can read from Genesis to Revelation. You can quote every scripture in the Bible. But if you're not living the word of God as it should be in your life, you are not going to heaven. You are not saved. It's implementing, living the word of God in your life. You see, God is not interested in religious
activity. He's not interested in how often you read the Bible, but God is interested in your heart. The heart that lives according to the word of God. Amen?
Yeah.
And not only the boast of the law, they could not even carry out the law. They could not even fulfill the law. Jesus had a problem, right, with the religious leaders. And imagine in the book of John chapter 3, verse 3. Can we go back, Chris? Yeah. We all know the story about Nicodemus, right? He was a religious leader. People knew him to be a holy man. But can you imagine, he did not even know what it means to be born again. So the Bible says he came to Jesus at night and had that discourse with Jesus. And Jesus said to him, in verse 3 of John chapter 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is what? Born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." No matter your status, no matter how well you know the scripture, no matter how well you may be eloquent in preaching the word of God, you may have gone to school and studied the word of God, you may have sat on a religious person and learned the word of God, but if you're not saved, if you're not living according to the word of God, Jesus said you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Being religious, spiritual doesn't take you to heaven, church. But doing what the word of God says. And not only did they do that, they boasted of the Lord. They boasted. Help me, Chris, to go to the next slide. Thank you. Look at what Paul says. He said, "Indeed, you are called a Jew. You rest on the Lord. And you make your boast in God." You boast of God. I have a relationship with God. I know God. I've heard about him. I've read about him. I study his word. But does God know more about you? Do people see God in you? Do you live according to God's word? Is God's word in your heart? And Jesus have a problem with that, right? Because even in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verse 46, can we go there? He said, "But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness, says, are like what? Filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." So Paul is saying, why are you boasting in the Lord? Why are you boasting in God when you are sinful, when you are not living right, when you are not doing what God's word, the law, requires of you? It's not seen on the outside of you, because whatever that is in the inside comes on the outside. Jesus says that. He said, not what goes into a man defiled a man, but what comes out of man is what defiled a man. So you may know God, but if you're not walking according to him, if he is not pleased with you, your labor is in vain. Look what he said. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, he said, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceed that of what? The scribes and the Pharisees." Now the scribes and the Pharisees were religious people. They were the one that people go to, they interpret, read the scroll, they read the law. But Jesus is saying, unless your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, so that means they ain't nowhere close to where God want them to be. So imagine God's telling you, say, unless your righteousness exceed that of the pastors of First Baptist, Pastor Gary and Pastor Ansu. Oh, you're laughing at us. Amen. But this is what Jesus is saying. In order for their days, The Pharisees, the religious leaders, lived a sin life as the unbelievers. They wear the long, ripe gowns and dress so good and appear. And you think that if God get ready for them, they're going to just fly and go to heaven. But Jesus said they were whitewashed grave. On the outside, they look good. But in the inside, they are all dead. So, don't boast in the Lord. Don't boast in God when you don't have that relationship that others can see Christ in you and that Christ can be glorified. You see, coming to church, listening to all the sermons cannot take you to heaven, church. You can read all the books. You can read all the articles, everything on religious, on Christianity. But if you're not living according to God's word, if it's not seen in you, it's a waste of time. And God is going to bring judgment upon you. Amen? They not only boast of the Lord, they boast also about the leadership. And he said, and are confident that you yourself are God to the blind. They felt that they were a guide to the blind. Those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. Paul said, yes. Now, it is good to have that leadership where you want to be the light, where you want to be an instructor to God, where you want to be a teacher, where you want to gain knowledge or impact knowledge. They have the right mind, they have the right motive, but their heart was different from what they have. Their motives were good, but their heart was different. They only did it to boast of who they were. They only did it to show that they have, because of their relationship as a Jew, or because of your relationship as Christian. No. It should be according to the standard of God's word. Amen? Amen? All they could accomplish was to make disciples and bring them in and teach them doctrine that they are even worse than the unbelievers. Paul said, no. What you need to do is your light needs to what? Shine. Your light needs to shine. Let God be seen in you. Let whatever you do be according to the word of God, not to show who you are. God is not interested in you being a light. No. God is not interested in you being a God. Even though if you do it, it's great. But if you only do it to show off that, oh, I can do it and show your own will. No. God is looking for a servant that will give his heart or her heart in serving to be a what? A guide. To be a what? To be a light. To be a what? To be an instructor. To be a what? To be a teacher that will have knowledge to impact the knowledge that God has given he or she. Impact that knowledge in someone who has no relationship with God. That's what God is looking for. Not to have the title and what have you and walk around. Oh, I'm a bishop. I'm a priest. I'm a pastor. God is not interested in the titles. He's interested in the heart that was serving diligently. Amen? Amen. And we see God's judgment on the spiritual as we go to our next slide. Chris, help me, please. Thank you. And before we go forward, Jesus says to them, he said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel in land and sea to win the proselyte. And when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of a well, of a hell as yourself. That's not what God intended for. God intended is that his intention was that there will be a light in the dark. That there will be his people.
And that they will honor him according to his word, not according to how they want to live. Amen?
Amen.
And this leads us to our second point. God's judgment on the spiritual and religious contamination of men. Now, let's get it straight. From the day we were born, we were all born as what? Sinners. No one born righteous. No one born holy. From the fall of Adam and Eve, all men were born what? Sinners. So, we were all contaminated with sin. But thank God for Jesus Christ. But even Jesus Christ came, yet we still continue to contaminate our lives. And that's why Paul had a problem with the believers. He said they were guilty of deception. How many of us pretend? Some of us, R7, oh, pastor coming, oh, I'm going to do this. But when pastor leaves, then you're going back to your, amen? Deception. They were guilty of desecration. They were guilty of destruction. Let's look at that quickly. Guilty of deception in verse 21 to 22, Paul says that. He said, you therefore who teach another, do you teach yourself? You know, when I read this part, I kind of hold a break there. I said, Lord, let me check myself up quickly. Because I think it's in Romans. I can't lay my hand on the scripture, the quote, the verse, right? But it says that you who are teachers, you will be judged strictly. So it's better for you to not be a teacher. Yes. Because God ain't going to play with you. So, and we as teachers, God ain't going to play with us. So don't think it's just us, our pastor. But if you teach Sunday school, if you teach any ministry in the church, God is going to judge you strictly. So Paul is saying that, who teach one another? Do you teach yourself? You preach that a man should not steal. Do you steal? You say, don't commit adultery. Do you not commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you not rob temples? Paul, he said, as religious men were telling everyone else how wrong they were deceiving themselves and others because they were as guilty as the person they were speaking to. They were basic, practicing the same thing that they were speaking against and living the thing that they said is wrong. So Paul had a problem with them. First of all, you boast in your lineage. Oh, I'm a descendant of Jesus Christ. Oh, you boast, I have a relationship with God, which you are not. I know the law. You're not living. Now you want to boast that you can teach each other. But are you teaching yourself? Are you living? And you'll say, oh, no, I don't steal. But yes, maybe you went, you know, I was reading this past, this something, and this joke, and this kid says, the father says, he told his child, don't take anything that is not yours. If you do, that's stealing. So the child said, yes, daddy. And they went to the doctor's office, and after they got through talking, the doctor has some nice pens. So he just grabbed the pen, put it in his pocket, and walked out with his son. And his son, well, they got in the car, and his son said, daddy, remember you said, I should not take anything that is not mine. If I don't ask for it, that's stealing, right? He said, yeah. He said, but do you know you just stole? Because you just took that pen. It's not yours. It's the doctor's pen. You didn't ask the doctor for it. You just took his pen. And it comes to mind that sometimes we're telling our kids, don't do this, don't do it. We forget, and sometimes we go ahead and do the same thing. And sometimes we tell others, don't do this, don't come in. The Bible says, if you just look at a woman and lust in your mind after you committed adultery already. And Jesus said, even if you just
hate your brother in your heart. You commit a murder already. You are a murderer. You are guilty of sin, and you're not going to go to heaven. Sometimes we overlook those easy stuff and say, you know, but God hold us for those things. Because when we think about those things, it comes from in our heart. And those are not things that God wants in our heart. They were guilty of deception, not only that, they were guilty of desecration. Paul said, you who make your boast in the law, do you not dishonor God through breaking the law? You boast that you know the law. The law was given to you. You kept it, but you now you are breaking the very law that God gives you. You are not living according to the standard. Because when God gave the law, he gives a standard that they should follow. But they were not following the law. It's the same today. We break God's rules every day. Because why? God gave us the Bible, right? But we read it and do and live contrary to the word of God. Are we honoring God? We are breaking his law. And Paul said, guess what? You are going to be judged. For the fact that you know it and not living it and breaking it, you are going to be judged. Amen? Amen. And he didn't want to stop there. He said, they were guilty of destruction. And before I go further, destruction, for desecration, Paul said many in Psalm 51, verse 4, David realized that he sinned with Bathsheba. He realized that his sin was against who? God. So whenever we break the law, we sin against God. We dishonor God. We're telling God that your word is not true. We're telling God that your word is not perfect. We're bringing God down in our lives. We sin against God. We don't sin against. And here's the fact. Regardless of what our lips profess, our life is what proves how we live our life about God. I don't care how much you say. I don't care how much. It's your life that proves. What comes out of you is what proves who you are as a child of God. And Paul went on in the next point that they were guilty of destruction. He said, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of who? You. The lifestyle among the Gentiles who were considered non-believer, not part of God's plan. They were dishonoring God in front of the Gentiles. So sometimes, you know, have the same people say, they look at you as Christian and say, ha, and they see you doing certain things, or your speech or your attitude, and say, is she a Christian? If she's a Christian, then I don't want to be a Christian. If he's a Christian, then I don't want to go to church. What church does he go to? And that's exactly what these Jews were doing. Their lifestyle was dishonoring God in the very presence of the people who consider as sinners. So they were not different from the Gentiles. And in doing, they were blaspheming God before the very Gentile who they were supposed to live righteously, and that they was the Gentile will see them as God's people. Can someone out there look at you and look you as God's child? Is your life serving as a hindrance to someone coming to God? No. It should be a lifestyle that will bring others to God. And that's the problem. So Paul said, you are blaspheming. You say one thing and do another thing in the eyes of another sinner. You're not better than them. You are worse. You even because you know the truth and you're not living the truth, they who don't know the truth and you're trying to judge them, you are worse than them. Because you know the truth. But you're not living the truth. So you are worse than them. Amen?
Do you sometimes, because of your lifestyle, attitude, make others want to come to church? Do you sometimes? But God is going to judge us if we cause one soul to perish. God is going to judge us. Amen? And not only that God is going to judge, but also going to go to the next point. God's judgment on the spiritual religious circumcision of men. Now, circumcision was something that God instituted a practice when he made a covenant with Abraham over 500 years. When God called Abraham, even before he gave Moses the law in Genesis chapter 17. And circumcision was then symbolized as a moral purity and separation from the world into God. They were kind of separated because God established that covenant with the children of Israel. And based on that, under the law of Moses, it became a sign of membership in the covenant community. That if you're not circumcised physically, then you are not part of God's community or the children of Israel. Because even in the book of Genesis, when Moses was taking his children, God told Moses he has to circumcise his son. If he don't, God is going to strike him dead. So it was something important by then. I said by then. Right? It was something important that they had to do because God instructed them to do it. But fast track, circumcision was taken differently when it came to the relationship with God. The first thing, God looks at it, God condemned, Paul looked at them and condemned them because circumcision is not only outwardly, but also inwardly. Right? And God condemned them for the false hope of circumcision. God, he condemned them for their unchanged heart. Let us look at that very quickly. First thing Paul said in verse 25, he said, "For circumcision is indeed profitable. If you are..." That was the problem right there. They did not keep the law. He said, "But if you are a breaker of the law, what happens? Your circumcision has what? Become uncircumcision." So Paul is saying that, yes, circumcision was implemented by God, but it was meant for you to what? Uphold the law. What follows after it? It wasn't just a ritual stuff, but there was laws that God placed behind it. And because you're not following it, you are breaking the law. And because of that, you are even worse than the uncircumcised. You're not better than them. And as we look at it in verse 20, it says, Paul regarded God and those who say that they are the true Jews, you have to be circumcised. Now, if they kept the requirement of the law, then they are true. But because they fail, then they are not true believers. Keeping the requirement of the law is that understanding what the law was ready for. And what is about? It was about changing in the heart, changes in the heart, and living out God's purpose that they have been taught. That was the purpose, not to boast about it. Then in verse 27, Paul says, can we go to the next? Yeah. He said, "Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirement of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you who, even with your written code and circumcision, are transgressor of the law?" That's the question Paul was asking them. Now, Paul emphasized that. He said, if you are not holding onto it,
pictures that the Gentiles already being part of God's family doesn't save them from judgment. But what really they needed to do was to uphold God's law from the heart. It's not from the outward, not from outside. God is not interested outside. He said, the scripture said God does not look at the outward appearance of men, right? But he looks on the inside. And that's the most important thing for every one of us believers. If our what God requires from us, our heart, that is need to be what? Circumcised. Not the physical aspect of our heart, not of our body. Now, in Romans chapter 2, verse 28, Paul says that, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor his circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart. They were looking at a physical aspect of circumcision. But Paul is saying that it doesn't matter. Because even the one who is not circumcised, if you are not living right, you cannot condemn the uncircumcised. But what matters if your heart is circumcised? God is interested in your heart. Not a physical, not an outward part of it. And he said, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. That's what God is interested in. God is not interested in the outward. And so he condemned them for the unchanged heart. This is amazing because Paul is trying to show what keeping the law doesn't make you a true Christian, but your heart towards God's word, that's what makes you a true Christian. It's your heart. Even as we look in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 15, this is what God says to the children of Israel. He said, the Lord delights only in your fathers to love them, and he chose their descendants after them. And he said, you above all peoples, as it is this day, therefore circumcise the foreskin of your what? Heart. And be stiff-necked no longer. You see, God is not interested in the traditions, because when it came forth, it was for a purpose. But you're not living according to purpose. So God is interested in your heart. He said what? Circumcise the foreskin of your heart. Because it's your heart that God sees and judges you. And it's your heart that God knows that you are truly serving him. Not religious rituals. Not you can come here every year and take communion. You don't miss one communion service, but that ain't going to take you to heaven. You can be here. You don't miss. You get every first Sunday of the month. That ain't going to take you to heaven. What matters is God is looking for the heart that will serve him, that will please him. And that's why he says, circumcise your heart. Look at what Jeremiah says in the book of Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 4. He said, circumcise yourself to the Lord and take away the foreskin of your what? Heart. It's your heart that is interesting to God. How you live is what matters to God. It's not tradition. So he said, take away the foreskin. I said, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire. God was fed up with the children of Israel. And he said, I need you to circumcise your heart. I need your heart to be pure. I need your heart to honor me, not traditions. Because if not, I'm going to come with vengeance. I'm going to come with fury. I'm going to come with fire and destroy you. That's why God says to Jeremiah, to the people. And interesting, because God is not interested in religions, whether you may be a Baptist, Episcopal, or Presbyterian, or Catholic. God is interested in all of that, because guess what? When we get to heaven, there ain't going to be no Baptist. There ain't going to be no Episcopal. There's not going to be no Presbyterian. There's going to be no Methodist. We are going to be children of God. So God is not interested. Don't go walking around here, I'm a Baptist. No, God is not interested in your religion. God is interested in the heart that will reflect on the outside, that others will see him in you, and that he, God, will be glorified. That's what God is looking for. So as we come, right standing with God is not on the basis of outward conformity, church, to set rules. Right standing with God comes from God himself and by the circumcision of the heart. And this circumcision of the heart, it kind of signifies the reality of what? Cutting away the old life. When your heart, what Paul is saying is that the circumcision of the heart deals with letting go of the old stuff, put it behind you, and walking in the newness of life. Serving God with all your heart. Serving God with all your might. Honoring God according to his word, not according to how you feel or how you want others to think about you. But at the end of the day, how God thinks about you, that's what matters. So as we come to close, and everything that we talk about, the heart of the matter is not what we call ourselves, Baptist, Methodist, or Jew. No, it's not. God's not interested in that. It's not what we claim. Oh, I serve as deacon in the church. I know the scripture. I read my Bible every day. God, yes, it's good, but it's not a matter of it. It's not what we approve. Oh, this is how we ought to, our service should be. We don't do this, we don't do that. We when you come to church, you sit down. You know, growing up in the church, Baptist church, and I grew up in the Baptist church. When we come, we always sat in the front pew in front of the older folks, you know. And you don't go left, you don't go right, because if you go left, there's a slap coming for you. Sit down, child. You know, the pastor is preaching. You don't shake. There are rules in the church that everything has to be this way. God is not interested in that. God is not interested how this is done, how that is done. No, you can have all of that. God, because when we get to heaven, there ain't going to be all of that in heaven. God is not interested why we approve, why we learn. It's good to learn, but God is not interested in that. It's good to teach, but God is not interested. If our motive of teaching is different from what God's standard is, he's not interested in your teaching. What God is interested in, the issue is how we live. That's what God is interested in. Our heart. How the content of our heart. Is my heart right with God? Because if I do everything and God is not pleased with me. Remember the book of Job? God boasted about Job, right? Because he knew who Job was. He told Satan, he said, have you seen my servant Job? He's faithful. And I wish God can say, have you seen my servant Ansu? Oh, don't laugh at me. Ask yourself, can God say, have you seen my servant, this person? Call your own name. I don't want to call name before you say I call name, right? But the fact of the matter is that we cannot boast of our claim anything if God doesn't boast about us. God doesn't claim anything about us. The matter, God, listen. It's of God's approval. Not what we, the pastor, think. Not what we approve. Is God approval of your lifestyle? If God's approval, has God approved of your work in the church? Or are you just on the fence? Are you just a Sunday morning Christian? Are you just browsing through, you come and you go? God is not interested in that. God is interested in the heart that was serving. Amen. God is interested in the heart that will love him, that will honor him. If you are here and you are not saved, church, the opportunity is now, because judgment is coming. Amen. God is going to judge.
In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 7, God told Samuel, when he sent Samuel down to Jesse's house to select, anoint the next king of Israel, and everybody came, and Samuel said this, God said, no. Samuel was looking at the height of all Jesse's sons. But God was not interested in the heights. God was not interested in how long they fought with the Israelites against the Palestinians. God was not interested in all that. He told Samuel, he said, in chapter 16, verse 7, he said, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature. He said, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. What happened? He said, for man looks at the outward appearance and judges from outward appearance. But God, what looks? The inside. Is God judging you? How's your inside this afternoon? I know I got some stuff inside of me that I need to work with. Ain't none of us perfect. We all have something inside of us that needs to be worked out. We all have something inside of us that needs to be fixed. We all have something inside of us that God needs to transform so it can reflect on the outside so that his name will be honored and be glorified. And if you have not come to that point, we are here and we can pray along with you. And don't wait for that time to come when it's too late, because it says now is the accepted time. Salvation is now, not tomorrow. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you. And we just honor you, O God, for your word. Even as your word gone forth, help us, O God, to remember that we will be judged and you have called us to serve. And if there's anyone in our midst this morning, this afternoon, who doesn't know the Lord as the Savior, this is the opportunity that you can see any of us. You can see Pastor Gary, see myself, or see any of the deacons, and we can talk and pray with you. And even if you are Christians, you too have some struggle, but God is available. He's able to fix those things in your life and set you on the right path. Just see us, and we can pray along with you. Father, we just thank you. We glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.